Well, I am 52, and your clock looks very fuzzy from back here. And so I'm not sure what time it is or when we'll finish. But for our remaining minutes, I'd like us to come back to that sentence we had with the boys and girls. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There was a young lady in our church in Bradford just before I came there, and she was year 9 or so, perhaps 14, 15 years of age. She'd heard the gospel, the message of the Bible, so many, 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 many times. But one day she turned the radio on and a stranger said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And as she listened to the stranger on the radio, she believed. And God gave her eternal life, and she was saved. That's one reason why I want to keep on saying it today. For God so loved the world. There is a power in the bare word of God. If I say it often enough, perhaps the Spirit will come and will give you faith and eternal life, even while I speak. Then, a week ago on Thursday, I was in a Christian school, and I did the same with them. I did John 3:16, and I said, "Now, to you boys and girls, which is the big word? Which is your favourite word in John 3:16?" And someone over there put up her hand and said, "Begotten." Well, I wasn't expecting her to say begotten. I said, "Why is begotten your favourite word in that whole sentence?" And she said, "Because it tells you how special Jesus Christ is." Well, I couldn't argue with that. I said, "Anybody else?" And someone here said, "Perish." And I said, why is that the biggest word to you?" And again, it was a girl, and she said, "Because it reminds you where you're going if you don't believe and have eternal life." So then you know what I said to them. I said, "My favourite word is so." And I got them to say it like you've said it. And my next favourite is whosoever. But then, of course, you bypass God. God. Every word in our sentence deserves so much attention and love. But this morning, for our remaining minutes, I want you to think about that word, believe. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, in a Greek Bible, the words, you know, believe and faith are the same. Only we can't say, "I faith, you faith, he faiths." We say, "I believe, you believe." But the words are the same. And I just say that because from now on, I'm going to sometimes say believe and sometimes faith, faith. And I'm reminding you, it's all the same. Faith. Faith. And I want us to say three things really today about that faith. What is that faith? You know, it's so important that you know what believe means. You know, the leaders of our political parties, Ed Miliband says he's an atheist. Nick Clegg says he's an atheist. We don't believe. David Cameron says he believes, but he wishes his faith were more important in his life What is David Cameron's faith? The Bible says that the demons believe, wicked angels, the forces of Satan, they believe. Have they believed and been given this eternal life? What is belief? Have you believed? Have you believed as the Bible means it? Have you believed? What is this believing? Do you see how much this matters? I wonder whether you have near Amion Park a shopping centre with an escalator. You know those electric staircases which just keep on going. One of my children hates them and looks for stairs, and another one loves them and wants to come down the up one. And it's always an issue in the shops. But I am slightly in awe. I neither love nor hate, but I am slightly in awe of this electric stairs which just won't stop for you. And there's an escalator in John 3:16, and I wonder if you can see it, if you can hear it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Can you feel the escalator? That whoever believes in him will be snatched off the escalator. Because the escalator is going. The whole human race is on the electric staircase. It's not stopping for anybody. The escalator is going to wailing and gnashing of teeth, to perishing. Outside are the dogs. Can you imagine that? A human being so stripped of anything godlike, of any kind of love, of any kind of friendship, of any kind of communication, that he and she is now a dog who can only wail and gnash his teeth. And that is perishing, perishing. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should be snatched off that terrible escalator and have instead life, eternal life. I'm just saying, do you see how important this believing is? What is this believing? When does God say, yes, I receive that faith from you and I give you eternal life? What is that faith? Now, three things about it jump out in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And the first is this, that it is intelligent faith. It is intelligent faith. Now, some of you are perhaps like me, and you're thinking, oh, well, I haven't got a degree. Well, neither have I. You're thinking, well, I haven't got any A-levels. Well, neither have I. I want you to know something about this intelligence. What is intelligent? Knowing, understanding faith. What is it? One day, my fiancée, as she was then, and I were out walking around Christmas time. We stepped into an Anglican church. I wasn't going to tell you it was an Anglican church. We stepped into a church building, and there was a lady clergy person, and she was helping some children learn something for Christingle. And afterwards we had a conversation, and I got to, well, what do you believe? And she said, believe? I don't know what I believe. She said, the evangelicals and the Islamists, they know what they believe. I just like the look and the smell. Now, that is a quotation. Now, that is not faith. Real faith is intelligent faith. It knows some big things about the Bible and God. God and the Bible. What the Bible says about itself. What the Bible says about God. Not everything, of course not. But even at the beginning of your Christian life, when you first believe and God gives you eternal life, there are some things you know and you understand. In fact, John's Gospel, chapter 3:16, is just a wonderful window on the great things you need to know. For God, God who made you, so loved the world. And he gave his only begotten Son. That's a line about God sending Jesus Christ into this world to die in our place for our sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Or, do you see, the great thing about God is his love. God is love. But it's not a silly kind of love, is it? It's not a silly kind of love. You know, this escalator and this hell, it is of God's making. I love the Narnia tales and the way the film did Aslan being killed there. It's powerful, but it's terribly wrong. It was not the White Witch. It was not Satan's place, the cross. It was God's place. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has crushed, bruised his own Son. This is not silly love. This is almighty love that sends his Son to be crushed so that you and I might be free. This is a tremendous window on God. These are some of the great things you must understand to some extent. You must understand to some extent and believe. In order for God to say, I receive that faith as faith, and I give you eternal life. It is intelligent faith. And then the next thing about this faith is that it is depending faith. It is depending faith. Now you see that in quite a subtle way in our verse. When our verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. Now, in the Bible, that's a very big thing. That is not just intelligently and intellectually believing some great big facts about God and the Lord Jesus Christ, especially on the cross. It goes further than that. And it is depending. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I am depending on you. The Lord Jesus tells a story in Luke's Gospel. Now, just jump there for a moment, chapter 18, about the two men who go to pray. And the one prays with himself. Oh, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I give money, I give my goods to feed the poor. And the great thing about that man is that he is not depending. He's not depending on anybody. He's not depending upon God. And the other man, he prays, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And you see what he's doing? He is depending. He is depending on God. He is throwing himself on God's mercy. "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. I have no other hope. Have mercy. I am depending on you." Now, I don't know if we are all the same, but for me, becoming a Christian, and still today, my ongoing faith, that is the most difficult thing. That is the most difficult thing. Jesus said, "Enter in at the narrow gate." And that was the tightness of the gate for me, to depend. To depend. To say, "I can't. You can. I depend on you." And it is still every day the challenge for my faith, for my praying, for public praying, to pray with other people. I'm still a proud man, needing every day to learn to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. "If you don't save me and wash me, I am done for and damned." And every day that's a tight gate for me. That's why Jesus said you go through the narrow gate. And it's a narrow way, all the way to heaven. It's just as tight as the gate. High heaven that heard that solemn vow at the gate. That vow renewed shall daily hear. And I'm just admitting to you that is as painful today as it was the day I first believed. To depend. To depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thing I should say about this faith is that it is urgent faith. It is urgent faith. Do you see what Jesus says right there by John 3:16? He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man himself be lifted up." And you know what he's doing? He's taking them in their minds back to how the ancient Hebrew people came out of Egypt through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And there are serpents and snakes and they're biting them and they are falling dead in the wilderness. And Moses must lift up this brass serpent. "Look, look, look and live." It's an urgent look. An urgent look. Look and live. In Luke's gospel, he brings out the same thing in different language. He says, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Do you see that? In real faith, there is an urgency, a desperation, which makes you aggressive as you assault heaven and believe. Sometimes say it was like an arrow going from my mind to Jesus Christ. Urgent faith. Real faith is urgent faith. You don't just sit there and say, "Aha, aha, that's interesting, it could be true." No, that's not faith. Real faith is urgent faith. Look and live. "Today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your heart. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Real faith is urgent faith. It is intelligent faith. There are some big things about the Bible and God and the Bible you need to get. And it is depending faith. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, only you can protect me from a holy, holy God. I depend on you. And it is urgent faith. Look and live. Then he gives eternal life. That isn't heaven, you know. That is the life he gives you at once upon believing. Now there are these three layers to faith. But as you look urgently to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I am sure you will not say to him, Lord Jesus, I am believing in you and I'm being intelligent like this and I'm depending like this and I'm... I remember the day I became... a Christian. I was walking near the coast with a young man. We were both 14 years of age. And he was saying to me, Tim, you've got to trust him. He was really preaching. And I can remember walking back to my dormitory, resolved to go and pray. And I did. I walked back to the dormitory, found someone on my own, to pray. I prayed, I know the words, oh God, make me a Christian. But you know, before I even began to pray, it had happened. It was done. There was no prayer. There were no words. I certainly did not say, this is intelligent and this is depending and this is... It was done. An arrow of trust from my soul to Jesus Christ's soul, and in that second, not only was my faith in Christ, but I was in Christ, and I was justified and dead to sin and adopted and sealed. What an almighty moment it was. And that's the moment that's in view here. Whoever believes has that moment, life, eternal life.